Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Merry Christmas from all of us here at Faith Radio. I'm Neil Stavem. Welcome to Connecting Faith. Ed Ross at the controls and Chris is at the phones. And we're going to spend a little time today celebrating the music of Christmas. You know, there's so much rich theology and a wonder in those songs that we know so well. And so we're just going to review some of the stories behind the songs. And honored that you can tune in today. I hope that whatever you got going on today, and just kind of sit back and enjoy the music and let it speak to you maybe in a fresh new way as you get to learn some of the stories behind the music. And to do that, we're going to bring back our hymn storyteller, I guess we put it that way, Robert Morgan. Rob Morgan is pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He's been pastoring there for 37 years, 40 years in ministry, and has authored more than 30 books and more than 2 million in print. And one of the series that he's done is a series of hymn stories called Then Sings My Soul, 150 of the world's greatest hymn stories. He's got a couple of renditions of that. And so we're drawing from his expertise to tell us some of the stories behind the hymns that we know so well. And you hear in the background a little bit of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We want to just jump in with that story. And Rob, first, let me just say welcome to back to Connecting Faith. We're just talking. This has kind of become an annual tradition for us.
Yes, thank you, Neil, and Merry Christmas to you.
So let's jump in. We just pulled a selection of some of our favorite hymns, maybe and Christmas carols. Some that we maybe know well, others maybe not so well, but just a good variety of them. So let's start out with "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." One that we love. Tell us a bit the story behind this one.
It was written by Charles Wesley. And Charles Wesley was born just before Christmas in 1707. He was premature, and he did not cry or open his eyes. His mother, Susanna, kept him tightly wrapped up in a wool blanket until his actual due date, whereupon he opened his eyes and cried, and did just fine. He became very precocious. He ended up later going to Oxford University. He became very serious about spiritual things, even becoming a missionary at one point, but not very successfully, until he was 31 years old. He gave his life to the Lord, and almost at once, his wonderful conversion, coupled with that of his brother John Wesley, led them into ministry, and they would draw crowds of 10 to 20 to 30,000 people. Charles Wesley was a great preacher, but we remember him most for over 9,000 hymns that he wrote over the course of his life, and they're very deep, very theologically strong, and we sing a lot of Wesley's hymns in many churches today. One of his first ones was entitled "Hark, How All the Wilkin Rings," W-E-L-K-I-N, the Wilkin. Nobody knew what that meant, so it ended up being published as "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." And with that new title and new first line, it's been sung now since the early 1700s, one of our favorite Christmas hymns.
Let's hear a bit of "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" and just enjoy it and sing along with us. Here is Paul Balazs.
Joyful all ye nations rise.
It's a celebration of Christmas hymns and carols today on Connecting Faith. Paul Balazs, nice fresh rendition of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, written by Charles Wesley. We're telling the stories of some of our favorite Christmas hymns and carols with Rob Morgan from the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville. Rob, you've written about the hymn stories. Is it something that's just a personal interest for you, that you've kind of researched some of these? How did that start for you?
Well, yes. I love the old hymns and the great hymns of Wesley. You know, you could see in that Hark the Herald Angels Sing that it's one of our most theologically deep and content-filled Christmas carols. And Wesley's life is just so fascinating. And all of the hymns and the hymnists throughout history, they've got good stories and wonderful, gripping tales behind what has caused these hymns to be written. And so we compile them, so many of these stories, into this three-volume set, Then Sings My Soul. And, you know, we're not saying, and I'm not saying, that contemporary Christian music and new music is to be avoided. I love the new music, but I don't want us to lose the heritage of 2,000 years of Christian hymnody and some of these great hymns we need to keep alive, and not just at Christmas time, but some of them deserve to be sang every single Sunday and even daily in our personal devotions.
This next one that we're going to focus on, it goes way back, I think it's, what, the 12th or 13th century. We're talking, O Come Emmanuel. Tell us the story of that.
Yeah, well, actually, the origins of this go back to the 800s, to the 9th century, to medieval days. In the Latin church, they would begin every day during the Christmas season with Vespers, and they wrote a series of special songs for this, which were called the O Antiphons. The word antiphon means an anthem or a psalm, and the O in front of it was just that expression, O, that expresses the deep feelings that we have. So these were called the O Antiphons, and they were sung back in the 800s, but in the 1800s, 1,000 years later, some of them were discovered by John Mason Neal, who loved to go back and reconstruct the hymnody of past ages and bring it up to date for his own generation. So he is the one who found a hymn that had been written 1,000 years before and put it into the form in which for the last 200 years we've been singing it, O Come, Emmanuel.
Love the fact that we can enjoy these wonderful hymns that have such a rich tradition as we celebrate, you know, being part of the body of Christ. Let's enjoy Laura Storer's rendition of this beautiful early Christmas hymn, O Come, Emmanuel.
Come dear. shall come to thee, O
You're listening to Connecting Faith. Merry Christmas from all of us here at Faith Radio to you and your family. We're celebrating the wonder of Christmas as declared through the great music, the favorite Christmas hymns and carols. And to tell us about it, Rob Morgan, pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, and he's a best-selling author, over 2 million in print of some 30 books. And he's has a three-volume set called Then Sings My Soul, with some of the great hymn stories, and we have Rob with us today to just tell some of the stories of favorite Christmas carols. And certainly A Little Town of Bethlehem, probably one that we know and sing regularly. This doesn't go back to the 9th century or so, but tell us the story of A Little Town of Bethlehem, Rob.
This was written by one of America's greatest preachers. His name was Phillips Brooks, and he was a pastor in Philadelphia for many years, and then later in Boston. He was a very big man, 6'6", very distinguished, and very well-known and well-loved. When he was 30 years old, he visited the Holy Land, and on Christmas Eve of 1865, he took a horse, rode by horseback from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. It's about 5 miles or so, and he attended Christmas Eve service in the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And it was a long service, hour after hour of singing and great hymns, and he was enthralled by the experience. And 3 years later, back in Philadelphia at his church, he wanted to compose an original Christmas carol for the children's choir to sing at the church's annual Christmas program. And so he just sat down and wrote the lyrics to O Little Town of Bethlehem as he thought back of his visit to the Church of the Nativity. And he handed the words to his organist, Louis Redner, and he said, "Louis, why don't you write a tune for my new hymn?" Well, Redner had a very short amount of time to do it. It caused him a great deal of anguish, but in the final analysis, he got it done and gave us the tune that went with the words, and it was sung the next day by a group of 36 children. And wouldn't you have loved to have been there to have heard O Little Town of Bethlehem sung for the first time in Philadelphia in that church? That would have been quite a moment.
Wow. Well, I don't have 36 children queued up to sing, but let's hear a bit of, I think these are 7 brothers. The Katinas give us just a portion of O Little Town.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. The silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all
enjoying the great Christmas carols and hymns. Another one that I've come to really appreciate, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. What can you tell us about that one, Rob?
Well, this is a very interesting hymn. It was written by Edmund Sears, S-E-A-R-S, who was a 19th century Unitarian minister in New England. He wanted to be in smaller towns and minister in smaller churches so he would have a slower pace in life in order to study and to think and to write. He wrote his first Christmas carol when he was 24 years old, and it became very popular in its day, although it isn't sung very often now. The title of it is Calm on the Listening Ear of Night. And then 15 years later, when he was 39 years old, he wrote It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Now, Neil, this is the interesting thing to me. Edmund Sears was a Unitarian, And most Unitarians, many Unitarians, do not necessarily believe that Jesus Christ is God the way that evangelicals do. And so in this hymn, it came upon a midnight clear. Despite how much we love it and we sing it at my church, but there is no mention of Christ in that hymn, no mention of a newborn babe, nothing about the Savior's mission. It's all just a focus for a desire for peace on earth. It's a reflection of the angel's wish that there be peace on earth. And it's interesting to note that this was written just before the Civil War, as the clouds of war were beginning to gather over the United States of America. And so taking that song of the angels, this Unitarian pastor wrote a Christmas carol that really doesn't deal with the Lord Jesus, but deals with the song of the angels and appeals in this terrible time in American history for peace on earth.
Well, we need peace on earth today as well. It's part of our Christmas tradition. Let's hear a bit of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
That glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the sad and lonely plains. They bend on hovering wing, and ever over its babble sounds the blessed angels sing.
A little bit of the Christmas hymn, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, and getting the story behind it from Rob Morgan. Rob, a lot of these hymns and stories, they aren't all necessarily, I guess, you know, rich in theology or speak of just the birth, but there's more to it. There's this next one I wanted to focus on, I Wonder as I Wander. Tell me a little bit about that. Is that considered a Christmas hymn, even?
Oh, yes. Yes, Neil, but it's I learned something as I researched this just this past week. Somebody asked me about the story behind I Wonder as I Wonder, and I said, well, there isn't any story behind it because it's an African-American spiritual, and they were all anonymous. They were born in the plantations. And he said, well, I thought there was something about Murphy, North Carolina, connected with that story. And I began researching, and I was absolutely wrong. I don't know why I thought this was a black spiritual. I Wonder as I Wonder has a very distinctive story behind it. And it means a lot to me now because my grandfather's family was from Murphy, North Carolina. I remember visiting there when I was a child. But I Wonder as I Wonder came about as a result of a visit in 1933 of a Louisville musician and songwriter named John Jacob Niles, N-I-L-E-S. He was in Murphy, North Carolina for some reason, and this is what he later wrote about it. He said, I Wonder as I Wonder grew out of three lines of music sung for me by a girl who called herself Annie Morgan. The place was Murphy, North Carolina, and the time was July of 1933. The Morgan family were revivalists, and they were about to be ejected by the police from the town square because they'd been camping there for some time, cooking and washing and hanging their clothes from the Confederate monument and conducting themselves in such a way as to be considered a public nuisance. Preacher Morgan and his wife pled poverty, and they said they had to hold one more meeting in order to get enough money to get out of town. It was then that Annie Morgan, this little girl, came out, tousled and unwashed and very lovely. She sang the first three lines of a stanza of I Wonder as I Wonder. And John Jacob Niles goes on to say that he paid her 25 cents to sing it over and over and over again, but she never had any more than those three opening stanzas and a little bit of a melody. And so finally he just took what she had, he left it in his heart for a while, and out of that he later wrote this carol that really comes from Murphy, North Carolina, from the Appalachian Mountains. It's, we would call it an Appalachian Christmas carol, I Wonder As I Wander. And it has that plaintive sort of hillbilly tone to it that those of us who grew up in the mountains instantly recognize and love.
Let's hear just a bit of that right now. I Wonder As I Wander.
I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus, the Savior, did come for to die for poor lonely people like you and like I. I wonder as I
Christmas from all of us here at Faith Radio. Glad to have you listening into Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. We're reviewing some of our favorite Christmas carols and hymns today, and hope that you're enjoying the stories and the songs, helping us to review those stories. Robert Morgan, Rob is pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, and he's a best-selling author. He's written more than 30 books, and he served at the Donaldson Fellowship there for about 37 years, and one of his series of books is called Then Sings My Soul. It's a three-book series where he's looking at hymn stories. And so we connect with Rob to just review some of the stories of favorite Christmas carols and hymns. In this case, I want to talk about We Three Kings. You just heard a little bit of the instrumental there. What's the story behind the We Three Kings? Were there three kings? Were they kings? And I guess, what do we know about that?
Well, this is one of the most interesting stories of all. You know the poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas, when all through the house, not sure. a creature was stirring, not even a mouse." That's the poem that really popularized the image of Santa Claus in our popular culture. That poem paved the way for the writing of We Three Kings of Orient Are. And this is the way it happened. After the War of 1812, when there was a real division between America and England, the Anglicans in America, the Episcopalians, decided to establish their own seminary in New York City, but they didn't know where to build it. Well, the son of the Episcopalian bishop in New York was named Clement Clark Moore, and Clement Clark Moore was a land developer. He was a staunch Episcopalian, but he was also a poet who had written "'Twas the Night Before Christmas, when all through the house." He became very well known for that poem about Santa Claus, the son of New York's Episcopalian bishop. Well, Clement Clark Moore also owned a large estate up in northern Manhattan, and so he decided he would give a portion of it for the establishing of this Episcopalian theological seminary. He also began teaching there and became one of the first professors. Well, some time passed, and one day in that seminary, they had a Christmas program, and a man named John Hopkins, who had enrolled in the seminary, was a student there, wrote an original hymn to be sung in the seminary that had been established on the estate of the man who had written "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." And John Hopkins' song was "We Three Kings of Orient Are." And so, in a way, our most popular song or poem about Santa Claus paved the way for these three kings that we sing about every Christmas.
Well, let's enjoy it together. Got a nice rendition from Phillips, Craig, and Dean right now.
Star of wonder, star of night, star that perfect light. Oh, we three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We've traveled so far, field and fountain, moor and mountain. Follow yonder star.
We Three Kings, a story from written by John Hopkins, and Rob Morgan tells us about it. Rob, before we get to our next Christmas hymn carol, I note that I was looking through just the hymn book as we follow along that oftentimes the verses maybe aren't in order, or they're maybe missing. When we open up our hymn books, if we still have hymn books, are they accurate representations of the originals?
Well, they are in a way, but you have to remember, Neil, that people back in earlier generations wrote much more loquaciously than we do. Many of their hymns would have 15 or 20 stanzas, and so when hymn books were compiled, not all of the stanzas were added to every page of the hymn book. They had to shorten them to four or five stanzas. And so most of the hymns have additional stanzas. You can go online and search it out and find them that were not part of what we see in our hymn books today. And in addition to that, occasionally there will be editorial updates because sometimes words change and the meaning of things change. And so editors will take the liberty of updating the words and sometimes rearranging the stanzas in a particular way, or leaving some out or adding some in, or occasionally someone will write a closing stanza that the original author never dreamed about. So hymn books are full of interesting little deviations like that as every editor tries to compile the best kinds of hymns for the particular audience they have in mind.
Well, we've heard a bit about the Christmas story from the angels, and we've heard about the kings, and now we want to talk about the shepherds, part of the story as well. Tell us about the story behind While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks.
This was written by two different men, the words written by one man, the music by another. They never met, but they both had severe money problems. The words were written by Nahum Tate, T-A-T-E, who was born in Dublin in 1652. He wanted to be a writer. He made his way to London as a young man. He did finally arrive at some success, but he was never able to handle his money well, and he lived in a state of perpetual financial crisis, and sadly, he actually died in an institution for debtors in debtors' prison in 1715. But before his death, he had taken Luke 2, the story of the angels, and essentially paraphrased it into a hymn, which later became famous, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks. Well, the music was written by another man who was having financial struggles until he happened to write a great oratorio known as Messiah. His name was George Frederick Handel, and he had so much difficulty with his finances until near the end of his life when he wrote that great Messiah that we love. And somebody took a portion of one of Handel's compositions, one of his arias, and created for it the tune that went along with While Shepherds Watch Their Flock. And so here you have two men who never met, both of whom struggled with poverty, who faced bankruptcy, who worried about making ends meet. One was better known than the other, and yet they both together combined somehow in the providence of God to enrich the world with this hymn, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks.
And it reminds me, I guess, even as we reflect on the Christmas story, that Jesus himself, the King of Kings, coming in poverty and revealing that good news. The angels revealed it to shepherds, also poor and in need. And let's hear this wonderful Christmas hymn, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around, and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized their
reflecting on our favorite hymn stories today with Rob Morgan. Rob is a pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville. He's served there for 37 years, and he's authored more than 30 books, more than 2 million in print and circulation. I recommend his writing whenever you have an opportunity to read it. He's also done a three-volume series of hymn stories called Then Sings My Soul, and we've made it a habit of checking in with Rob around Christmas time every year just to review a few of those stories behind our favorite Christmas songs and hymns. Hearing First Noel in the background. Tell us, Rob, a bit about the story behind the First Noel.
Well, this is one of the most beautiful and plaintive of our Christmas carols. When you go to a candlelight service and you sing this or you hear this being played, it sort of casts a spell over you. It's got a mystery to it that is pensive and that probes at our hearts. And that mystery goes all the way back to who wrote it as well. It is absolutely anonymous. We do not know anything about its background except that it showed up in an edition of a hymn book in 1823 with these words put down anonymously and a traditional setting of music from an unknown source. So both the music and the words are unknown to us. We do know what the word Noel means. It's not a word that we typically would use in our everyday conversation, but it comes from an original Latin term, natalis, or nativity, which has to do with being born. So when we talk about the nativity of Christ or nativity scenes, that is the same basic word from which we also get the word Noel. And by the way, Neil, the word carol, when we talk about Christmas carol, comes from a French word which means a song. And so somehow this marvelous, mysterious hymn just showed up in our hymn books from some unknown author. The first Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. But whoever wrote it has given us a carol that's existed now for nearly 200 years. Mm.
Love the stories, even if they're anonymous. We benefit from them. And got another one that we got a couple more we're going to try and squeeze in before time is gone. One that I appreciate, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Tell us a little bit about the story behind that one.
Well, we know exactly who wrote this. And to me, this is a fascinating story, Neil. The author was James Montgomery, and he was a missionary kid. In fact, he was the son of Moravian missionaries who, when he was just a child, they left him behind on the British Isles while they sailed away to do missionary work in Barbados, and they were never heard from again. And James went from pillar to post, really no family. He finally, as a young man, settled down in Sheffield, England, began working for a local newspaper. And in time, James Montgomery purchased that newspaper. And you might think that he would be bitter towards missionaries or towards Christianity because he was basically left behind by his parents while they went off to do missionary work. But none of the kind. He was as excited about missions. He used his newspaper to promote missionary and Christian causes. And he was just a great advocate as a journalist in the 1800s in England for the cause of Christ. Well, on Christmas Eve, the year was 1816, and he was 45 years old. He opened his Bible to the Gospel of Luke. He was reading the Christmas story. He could just see those heralding angels in his mind, and he took up his pen, and he started writing. And by the end of the day, his new Christmas poem had already been published in his own newspaper, and the title of it was Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Let's enjoy this wonderful Christmas hymn written by James Montgomery. Here's This Hope. our favorite Christmas hymns, hopefully yours. We've got a favorite to wrap up our time together as we celebrate Christmas with Rob Morgan, talking about the stories of our favorite hymns and carols. And we want to wrap up with the story, the hymn that we enjoy and sing just about every Christmas, that's Silent Night. What's the story behind that one? We probably know it.
Oh, this is my favorite one. Well, a couple of years ago, I took my daughter and granddaughter to Salzburg in Austria. This little town, it's not a very big place at all, but it was the home of Mozart. It was the home of the von Trapp family singers. You can go there and visit all of the Sound of Music sites. And it was also the birthplace of Joseph Moore. And one day while we were there, we took a train about 15, 20 minutes out of town to the little village of Obendorf, and that's where Joseph Moore was the pastor or the priest in a church, and it was called the Church of St. Nicholas. Well, on Christmas Eve of 1818, almost 200 years ago, Father Joseph Moore prepared for the midnight service, but they were unable to have their typical music program because the organ was broken. And so he took this hymn. We don't know if he wrote it on that particular day, or it's very likely that it was written a couple of years ahead of time in terms of his writing down the words. But at any rate, he took a sheet with the word Silent Night and gave it to the organist, Franz Gruber, and said, would you write some music here, and let's sing this tonight to your guitar. And so they did so, and it was on Christmas Eve of 1818 in the Church of St. Nicholas in Obendorf, Austria, there in the Alps, that for the first time Silent Night was sung. We're very sad to say that later the church itself was flooded and destroyed, but there is a chapel there now, and my daughter and granddaughter and I visited the little chapel commemorating the writing of Silent Night. And there happened to be some musicians there, and we got a videotape of them. They sang and played Silent Night for us. I have it on my Facebook page at Robert J. Morgan Ministries, but it was sung in the same location as the original nearly 200 years ago, dating from 1818, Silent Night, the Austrian hymn that is our favorite of all of the Christmas carols.
Well, it is a favorite. We're going to wrap up our time together with that. But, Rob, just want to say thank you for sharing the stories with us again, and blessings to you. Merry Christmas to you and your family this season.
Thank you, Neil. I love being with you, and may the Lord bless you, give you a Merry Christmas, and for all of the listeners, a Happy New Year.
Rob Morgan, pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee, and author of some 30 books. We're talking about the book series Then Sings My Soul, and let's enjoy this together. It's Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night.
Mark Schultz and Nicole Nordeman teaming up to bring us Silent Night from way back in 1818. Hope you enjoyed the stories of Rob Morgan. You can find out more about his writings at his website, robertjmorganministries.com. And you can find this program, want to listen to it again if you missed part of it, or pass it on to a friend, or any of the other great interviews you hear on a regular basis here on Connecting Faith. They're available online, myfaithradio.com. Then click on the Connecting Faith show page. And thank you for being part of our Angel Tree partnership ministry this month. You can make your gifts to Angel Tree as well by going to our website and find a link there. And from all of us here again at Faith Radio, to you and your family, Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.